Identifying the voice of God. This is the second message in the series. The first message was the two voices of truth. And we saw how John the Baptist made it clear that Jesus from above brought the truth from above. He speaks from his perspective, from an eternal perspective. And John the Baptist, in reference to himself, saying he was from earth. And the truth that he brought was the best truth that earth could provide. It's true, it's just a lesser truth. And so that's why he told that certain Jew that, referring to Jesus, he must increase and I must decrease. Today, we're going to look at distinguishing the voice of God. There's a lot of uncertainty about what's what, particularly in the generation that's coming up about what's what. When is God speaking? How do I know? And on one hand, they have a distrust for quote-unquote organized religion. And the other hand, they want genuine spirituality. So not trusting organized religion, they are at loss as to what to believe and how to go about it. And so there's a lot of uncertainty. And throughout their lifetime, they hear the ring of many voices. Could you name some of the voices that people today hear, not just that age group I gave, but just in general from your own experience? They got parents, they got peers, we have fear, we have our past, we have our teachers, we have our sin nature, we have the world. Don't forget, we have ambition. We have God. And that gives us just a general idea of these voices. Now, as we get older, though we may remember the ring of these voices, remembering the source can be a challenge. You get up to my age, something comes to mind that's familiar. By now, I've forgotten the source of it, but I remember the ring. For instance, a voice said, "Don't do that, you know, some awful fate may occur." Well, I may not remember the source of that. It could have been something that my mom said over and over again. It could have been a fear from my childhood. But knowing the source of those voices is important because some of those voices aren't worthy to obey at all, like a sinful nature. Some of our peers or influential person could be a coach. And other voices are only worthy of obeying in certain situations, like fear. In certain situations, is worthy to obey. There are some peers. In certain situations, they're worthy to obey. And parents and ambition. In certain situations, it's worthy to obey. But all of them, except God's voice, can only speak finite truth to us. And finite truths are truths that are germane to earth. They're truths that are specific to earth. Truths about things we can observe, like the laws of gravity. And as I mentioned on Sunday, the square root of 36 is 6. Those things are true, but they're different from eternal truth. Eternal truth include what's going to happen to you tomorrow, whether or not this person will make a good mate or not, how error was made. I mean, we got into that Sunday. But in Luke 21:33, Jesus tells us that the truth that he brought was eternal. You know, we looked at John 1:17 on Sunday, and it said that the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Christ. See, when Christ brought eternal truth, it had never been revealed on earth. Eternal truth has always existed because it's eternal. People only knew finite truth because that's all they saw. That's all they experienced. So when the Bible said Jesus brought truth, that doesn't mean that with Jesus was the first time true things were introduced. What it means with Jesus, the first time eternal truth. And eternal truth brings life. We can see that a little later. But in Luke 21:33, Jesus says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." He brought eternal truth. And that was unique. See, the reason why Pilate scratched his head when he said, "What is truth?" because finite truth can't explain certain things. And so Pilate kind of left us hanging when we read that. So it's very important to be able to identify the voice of God in order for eternal truth to lead to our best possible life on earth. And so we identified up here the various voices that will speak to a person through our life. And I know all these to be true. Some of them ain't worth listening to. Some of you got to know when to listen to it. So we're going to explore identifying the voice of God to lead to the best possible life on earth. And that's the key. Eternal truth, since it's prophetic, because eternal truth knows what's going to happen tomorrow. For me, it knows whether or not that job versus that job is going to work out to my advantage in terms of God's scheme of things. It knows whether that person is going to be a spouse beater or not. And so eternal truth, it's prophetic by nature because it can comprehend more than finite truth. So eternal truth can lead to the best possible life for us on earth. Even though when we open the scripture, it may not seem like, but it's the best possible life. Some of the types of life that we want on earth doesn't have our best interest. It glitters. It seemed to be attractive, but it's just not the best case scenario. Now, so let's first look at the necessary elements for authenticating the voice of God. I had to talk about that first. But I want to read a scripture that we went over Sunday. It was 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. Amen. You know, I can stop right there because it says in verse 20, scripture came about, and in verse 21, as God spoke. That's our answer right there. We're going to tie them together. Scripture came about as God spoke. It makes it clear that man may have penned what God said, but God said it. And so with the truth of scripture, we can authenticate or confirm the voice of God. But notice what I didn't say. I didn't say with scripture we can authenticate the voice of God, because the events in the Bible occurred before scripture existed. It's the truth of scripture that authenticates the voice of God. And so the truth of scripture was heard and was understood anytime God spoke, because God doesn't contradict himself. And what he spoke before these were put into pages is consistent with what he spoke that prompt men to write. So it's the truth of scripture that authenticates or confirms the voice of God. Now, talk about authentication or to confirm. The best, the most common, and the very basic method for confirming is the voice of God that's used today can be found in scripture. Matter of fact, it's the basic and best authentication method, period. In John 4:23-24, in here are the same elements used for authenticating, same principle rather, used for authenticating ATMs, safety deposit boxes, computer networks. Same principle. In John 4:23-24, it says, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. Now, this describes the best means of security that exists today, even in America. The best means of security involves something you have and something you know. When both are authenticated, then confirmation were made. You know, I remember me and my brother, as we were little boys, we used to play spy. And neither of us could enter the secret cove without knowing the secret handshake and the passcode. Couldn't have one. You got to know them both. Now, even though I resemble Jimmy, if I didn't know the handshake or the passcode, my brother wouldn't acknowledge me as being legitimate. He just wouldn't acknowledge me. Now, that silly game is the base of security today. When you're at the ATM machine, the card you have, the PIN number, you know. When real agents, not like me and my brother, when they enter a top secret building, their fingerprint or their retina, they have. The password, they know. When you go to use your safety deposit box at the bank, the key, you have the box number, you know. When you go to the bank, to the teller, the driver's license, you have the account number, you know. And when you access the computer network, at least when I access that work, I have this randomizing token that randomizes a number, but I know the PIN. And so the best means of security that exists today involves something that you have and something that you know. The actual authentication of which voice belongs to God, even 2,000 years before driver license, before ATMs, before highly secured military facilities, and before computer networks, was the Holy Spirit that we have when we accept Christ and the truth in God's word that we know. Those two things make up the element of recognizing God's voice. And so, and just as John says that true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth, you need both of them to authenticate the voice of God. And we're going to see how it works. Well, I'm going to briefly read this. The spirit we have in Ephesians 1, 13, 14, it tells us that when we heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and we believed it, we were marked with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, which is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. And so that's what we have when we hear the gospel and believe. The truth of Scripture is something that we must know. If we remember the parable of the sower and the seed, and Jesus went through the message to explain the seeds that fell along the path, the seeds that fell in the rocky ground, and the seeds that fell amongst thorns, and then the seed that fell amongst the good ground. He says in verse 23, Matthew 13, 23, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 and 30 times what is sown. So the spirit we have when we accept Jesus Christ, and God has inspired his word and left his word for us to understand it. And so God has given us what we have, the spirit. And as believers, we are encouraged to understand his word, to obey his word. So our house would be like the house that was built on solid ground. And so those two things are going to be key as I go on to identifying the voice of God. Now, when we respond with faith to the gospel, God deposits his spirit in us. But then it's up to us to desire, to seek, and to understand his word. And when God speaks, say, you don't have to be a professor, but you have this desire to seek and to understand. You have this desire to understand. That's what God sees in your heart, this desire to understand. And when God speaks, the Spirit will bring an effective, confirming biblical principle that you have read or studied. It can be very basic. Holy Spirit can use that. He will bring that to your mind or bring it to your heart, and thereby making a way for recognition and agreement. So God has said something, and it's the Spirit that's going to bring to your mind or bring to your heart a biblical principle that you have studied. And you know, it doesn't have to be a complicated principle, but it's going to be enough to confirm or to make way for confirmation that that voice that is spoken is of God. You see, and that's why when organized religion is rejected, and there's a generation that tries to find God in something else, because they tend to reject the Bible with that, that's why they have so much uncertainty. Because God's made a way for confirmation of his voice to come through the Spirit and come through his word. And the key is that the Holy Spirit will bring an effective confirming biblical principle. What that means, that principle itself is potent. It's not that the Holy Spirit just brings words to mind, but he will bring an effective confirming principle to mind that opens a way for agreement to that particular voice or disagreement to the other voices. So we have the potency in God's word plus the potency of the Holy Spirit that equals confirmation. Jesus put it this way. Someone read John chapter 6, verse 63. Jesus talks about this potency that is in the word. And so it's key to understand that the Spirit will bring an effective confirming biblical principle, one that has the power to illuminate. And oftentimes we experience as, oh, I understand. But it's the Holy Spirit illumination around that principle that is in agreement with the voice when it's God's voice. And what only thing we say, oh, I understand. Or I just feel good about that. All right, who has that John 6? The words I have spoken to you, full of spirit and life. What this means is that Jesus' words, God's words, contain the same divinity as the Spirit. That's why I said it's an effective confirming word. And that's why Bible study is so important. It talks about the word of God, how powerful and potent it is, how it can just get to the core, the source of things, down to the core, to the marrow of the bone. God's word is an effective word. You can read it. It can just jump out and convict you. There's a connection there. In the hood, there's a saying, game recognizes game. A hustler can recognize a hustle in the making, and he can flip it on you. Okay, they're trying to hustle me. He doesn't know that I know he's trying to hustle me, so let them think they're trying to get away with something. And in the meanwhile, we're going to play what they think they're getting away with as our hustle, and then they're going to get got. A hustler recognizes a hustle. For a believer, the Spirit in us recognizes the Spirit in Scripture. As Jesus said in 36, the words he has spoken are full of spirit and life. And so when the Spirit in us recognizes the Spirit in Scripture, that's how we can know and recognize the voice of God. Now, does this mean that we have to know the Bible cover to cover? No. The Holy Spirit got that covered. The Holy Spirit knows just what to bring from what we've studied to confirm. And all we have to do is have this desire, and we have to study and seek to understand God's voice. And the Spirit behind it is going to enable us to recognize God's voice when we speak. Of course, we're going to grow, because one thing about Scripture, once we desire to study and a genuine desire, God began to open things up. And one of the things he opens up is our curiosity. We want to know more. Okay, that's true. Then what about this? That's true. What about this? That's true. What about this? And we go on and on and on. And we end up with a more robust understanding than we started off with. I know that's one of the ways that God has gotten me. So we don't have to understand the Bible from cover to cover, but it does mean that we will recognize God's voice when he speaks. And that's the idea. And so Scripture is so important. And there's so many times that something I heard agreed with so much that I really wanted to do, but it was so against scripture. and so it's not a matter of I know the facts, and that because I know the facts, I'm going to go with that. It's actually the Spirit in the Word of God and the Holy Spirit in us are in agreement. And we know that's the whole idea of conviction. We know when those two are in agreement, yet we decide to do something else. And so when the Bible says grieve the Holy Spirit, that's actually what goes on inside of us. The Spirit in us gets grieved because it made it clear that that was not of God. And to continue to do that, eventually we grow to be insensitive to the Holy Spirit. So recognizing the voice of God is a very big first step. Doesn't require any specific body of knowledge in Scripture. What it does need is a sincere desire and a devotion to understand the Word of God. Listen to Jesus' point. I want to look at John chapter 10, passage of Scripture where Jesus goes into explanation about being the good shepherd. And I'm going to read that. And I'm starting verse 1. I'm going to read through 10. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listens to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figurative speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Verse 7. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, he makes it simple, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You know, so we know that recognizing God's voice, I mean, that's a first step, but it's a huge first step. Recognizing Jesus' voice, recognizing God's voice is huge when it comes to actually living out that best case scenario for our life. Because we will follow Jesus' voice throughout life. And since that voice is prophetic, we will experience that best case scenario for our life. And I say best case scenario because I don't know what that means, what that involves. It has a lot to do with what God's plan is for you. Now, in this parable, Jesus makes two huge claims. I mean, big claims. Now, having brought eternal truth into the world, Jesus claims that he and he alone is the access to eternal life. Referring to himself in verse 7, I am the gate for the sheep. Anyone that's come before him, he's talking about anybody that came before him claiming to have the answers of life, claiming to have absolute truth, claiming to have eternal truth, claiming to be God. They met those people wrong because there is no way that God gave them anything to declare like that to those people. And Jesus would know that. And he said they had some other agenda. I had an illustration, but it may not work that well. You know, say a backyard, You know how they have fenced in and you have a gate? But in the hood, you may not have a gate, or the fabric of the fence may not be up there. Kind of like that one. The illustration may not work in all situations, but if you can imagine this sheep being in there, and there's a gate with integrity, a fence with integrity, and a gate that actually on the hinges, unlike that one, and a gate that latches, unlike that one, that's there. Well, Jesus is talking about coming through the gate. He's the gate, coming through him to address the sheep. Somebody, when Pookie hops that fence to address the sheep, Pookie doesn't have the sheep's best interest in mind. Because in the Old Testament, the idea of gate denotes the place of judgment. It's the place where the elders of the city sat and judged, and they made decisions based upon what was right, what was fair, and what was lawful. Now, I just went through the first five books of the Bible, and I have some scriptures that I'm going to put on a board, but not right now, afterwards, that gives you the sense of how gate was used as the place of judgment. In Genesis 23:10, 23:18, 34:20, in Deuteronomy 17:5, 21:19, 22:15, 22:24, and 25:7. All those are examples of how there was judgment and decisions made at the gate. And so when Pookie hops that fence, they are evading right, fair, and proper judgment. So they, obviously they have some other agenda. And so Jesus is saying, it's anyone who calls himself addressing the sheep through some other way, then they don't represent the sheep's best interest. And so what that means about this voice of God is that it's imperative that we recognize his voice. He said, my sheep know my voice. They're going to run from a stranger. God has deposited the Holy Spirit in us when we were saved, and he has given us his truth. So by implication, Jesus is really saying those other voices, like someone hopping the fence and going in to the sheep. They don't want to go through the judgment of fairness. The fairness check they're trying to avoid, the righteous check they're trying to avoid, the lawful check they're trying to avoid. And we've had our share of fence hoppers. And so when a voice seems appealing, it seems right, or seems sensible to you, just have the Spirit in you and the truth of Scripture to confirm it. You have them in you. Now, verse 9. Verse 9 says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. So in verse 9, Jesus is saying that it's not only possible to identify his voice. See that? He said, my sheep know my voice. He let us know right there. It's possible to know his voice. And it's possible to make it into heaven. But obeying his voice does two things. It liberates the person, and I believe here, it liberates the person from religious bondage. Verse 9, they will come in and go out. The audience he was speaking to were undergoing religious bondage from the Pharisees and from the Sadducees. And so Jesus was speaking about the freedom people could have through him that they really did not have. People were under religious bondage from the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and possibly the Essenes and other kinds of sects and beliefs. And so Jesus said that those who obey his voice, they'll be able to come in and go out. They can come and go in and out of the gate. Not only would they be free to come and go, but it will lead any person to abundant life instead of impoverished life. Verse 9 said, and find pasture. So he's saying not only can they come and go, they're going to go and find what provides substance. Find something to eat, something to sustain them and their little lambs that they take with them. So not only is it possible for us to identify his voice and make it to heaven, but obeying his voice will liberate the person and also bring the person abundant life. That's why I say that recognizing God's voice is a huge first step. Because all of us We want that type of freedom to come and go without feeling constrained by, you know, religious belief. We all want to be able, when we come to go, to be prosperous. Find what we're looking for. Find what will sustain us. We want that. The disconnect is we fail to realize that's connected with being able to recognize the voice of God when he speaks. And so you see many people, they want the liberty. They want the abundance. They don't study scripture to help them distinguish the voice of God amongst all these voices. Therefore, they're following the wrong voice. And the wrong voice can cause them not to go out and find substance, not to go out and experience that abundant life. And so the elements for identifying God's voice is his spirit and his truth. And Jesus says his word is made from the same substance that the spirit is from. His word contains spirit. And so it's no mystery that both of them are instrumental in recognizing the ring of God's voice. And that's the idea. You're recognizing the ring of God's voice. Now, having said all that, I must conclude with this, and that's Jesus is a worldwide Savior. And I have to make it clear that Jesus did not come into this world, nor did his Father send him into the world to establish a religion. And oftentimes, we fall into the trap of letting the world pit us against other religions or other world views. Albeit noble, the Roman Emperor Constantine had a dream about organizing all these churches into Catholicism. That was his dream. He may have been noble about it, but God did not send Jesus for that purpose. God sent Jesus into the world to give life through eternal truth to anyone who will receive it and who will receive his redemptive work on the cross. Anyone. God placed no limitations on who you were or what you did or what you believed beforehand. Oftentimes, we have to be very careful of not trying to pour concrete around Christianity as a religion. And we concretize stuff oftentimes. That's the trouble with many traditions that go beyond what we see in Scripture. They pour concrete around organized religion. That wasn't Jesus' purpose at all. He was God on earth to redeem the earth and bring something the earth never had, eternal truth. And so that humanity's relationship can be reconciled with God. Now, God did not give me an understanding of what to do with all the confusion that man has created in the various religions. Jesus wasn't even trying to unravel that. He simply came for the world, and whosoever will, he accepts. And here's the reason. And that's because he had complete confidence in what the transforming power of his word as eternal truth could do. That same eternal truth, by the way, was the source of our scripture. He said his word is spirit. He had complete confidence in what his word can do. And so he wasn't trying to speak to a Pharisee how they were going to deal with the rejection of their family by accepting him. He wouldn't go to a Buddhist to explain, you know, how to reconcile the different teachings and what they mean. He didn't go with it because he had confidence of what his word, eternal truth, can do in terms of transforming the soul. And so we have to be very sober about how we reach people and what we reach them to and what we reach them with. Because what you reach people with is what you win them to. If you reach them with pizzas, then you want them to pizzas. They don't expect the pizzas to keep coming. And so that's why it's very important to win and reach people with the word, because what you win them with is what you win them to. And we have to always use this word, because it contains spirit, it contains power, it transforms. And not everybody was willing to accept it at that time, maybe later, but not at that time. So those are the facts about identifying God's voice, authenticating his voice with spirit and the truth of scripture. Amen.